It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome back to Fresh Oil. It's been a great week. Today on the Friday edition, we're going to wrap up this week, but next week I'm going to continue because this is a vast subject as we're talking about how to overcome the fears in our life. We've talked about what fear is. We've taken a look at the many faces of fear: fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the future, fear of death. But today we're going to dig deeper to understand how fear gets into our lives. Because fear doesn't begin as a storm. It starts as a seed. Did you hear that? Fear doesn't come announcing itself as a big storm. It starts as a seed, and it usually comes in the area of the mind. No one wakes up suddenly bound by fear. It begins quietly, subtly. A whisper, a worry, a thought that you don't challenge, you simply accept it, and before long, it's no longer just visiting. It's moved in, and it's rearranged all the furniture of your heart. That's why the Bible tells us, one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 4:23, to guard our hearts, for out of it proceed the issues of life. See, if faith grows in the heart, that's the same place fear tries to grow. So today, let's trace the pathway that fear travels from thought to stronghold. And let's learn how to close the door on the fears that Satan wants to bring into our life. Let's begin with the seed of fear. Friend, fear begins in the mind. Every fear starts with a thought. It's not always dramatic. Sometimes it's as quiet as, what if? Job said in Job 3:25, he said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." See, Job's story shows us that fear begins in the thought life long before it shows up in the real life. Fear plants a seed through imagination, and what you meditate on, it eventually manifests in your life. Do you know, friend, the mind is the doorway to your heart? That's why the enemy's favorite battlefield is your imagination. He gets you thinking, what if? What if you lose your job? What if they don't accept me in the group? Or what if I no longer can keep up the pace I'm keeping up now? See, Satan knows if he can capture your thoughts, he can control your peace. See, Paul wrote this, and this is a very important verse. Don't miss this today. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. It says this: "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." See, friend, fear enters when a thought goes uncaptured. When you don't take captive that thought, it'll take root and grow into a full-blown fear in your life. See, fear begins where truth is questioned. Do you remember back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden? Satan didn't show up with a sword and say, "Let's do battle, Adam." You know what he did? He showed up with a sentence. He said, "Did God really say this?" And in that moment, he planted a thought that questioned God's goodness. That's the first step of fear. It's doubt. When truth is questioned, fear finds an opening. Fear says something like this: "Maybe God won't come through this time." Faith says, "Even if I don't see it, I still trust in Him. I trust in His Word. He's never failed me." That's the way faith talks. And if you don't answer the first lie, guess what? It'll build a second lie. And that's how the serpent works: through questions, not shouts. Friend, the devil doesn't need you to believe a big lie. He just needs you to question a small truth. Let's talk about, secondly, the growth of fear. How does it go from thought to imagination? How does fear take root in our life and grow? See, once fear plants a thought, it begins to paint pictures in your mind. You start seeing the worst case scenario, like a movie trailer that won't stop playing. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It isn't a demon sitting in every corner. It's a thought pattern that's fortified by repetition. The more you dwell on a thought, the more you repeat that thought, every time you replay the fear, you strengthen the fortress, and it becomes a stronghold in your mind. Do you know that Israel stood on the border of the Promised Land? They estimate it took them 2 years to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. But fear had already won the battle in their minds. The 10 spies who were negative came back and said, "We saw giants, and we seem like grasshoppers in our own sight." Only Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "It's a land flowing with milk and honey. We need to go in and take the land." See, the children of Israel, they didn't lose to giants. You know what they lost? They lost to imagination. Their fear created an image that was louder than the promise God had given them. You see, imagination is powerful. God gave it to us to dream with faith. He wants you to ponder all the great possibilities that He can do through faith. But the enemy, he uses that same energy in a negative way to twist every dream into fear. Do you know that what you focus on, you feel? Peter experienced this firsthand when he stepped out of the boat. Jesus invited him to walk on water. And he walked on water towards Jesus. Who else has done that? But when he saw the wind, he began to sink. See, the wind had been blowing the whole time. It was storming. A violent storm, the Bible says. It didn't just suddenly get stronger. The only thing that changed was Peter's focus. You see, when fear enters the imagination, it turns waves into monsters. But when faith takes over, it turns storms into stepping stones. You can walk on water spiritually when you step out in faith and trust God and let go of fear. My friend, fear grows when you focus on what's against you instead of who's for you. See, if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's talk about the root of fear. You know what the root of fear is, friend? The next step is the most dangerous, and that is agreement. A thought that's unchallenged becomes a belief. Have you ever noticed how some people will speak negative to you, and if you remain silent, they just automatically assume you agree with them, even though they spoke something negative about someone you love, your pastor or a friend. And when you're silent, it's like you're agreeing with them. You have to challenge those things. You have to say, "That's not right." A thought unchallenged becomes a belief, and what you believe begins to shape your behavior. When you agree with fear, you give it authority in your life. And that's what Job did when he said, "The thing I feared has come upon me." He didn't just think it, he agreed with it. See, fear says, "This sickness runs in your family. There's cancer in my family," or "heart disease in my family." It wants you to imagine every evil possibility that could possibly happen in your life. But what does faith speak? Faith says, "By His stripes, I am healed." Fear says, "You're never going to make it." But faith says something like this: "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Every time you repeat fear's lie, you strengthen its hold. Every time you repeat God's word, you weaken that attack from the enemy. It's firing off ballistic missiles of of power through God's word and you weaken it. Do you ever notice when you say, I think I'm getting sick, not too long after that you get sick? See, by your words you'll be justified, the Bible said. Jesus said that in Matthew 12:37, and by your words you will be condemned. See, the mouth reveals the agreement of the heart. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want to point out something to you today that's a powerful message in our last few moments. You can't have faith and fear in the same mouth. When Israel faced Goliath, the army of Saul said he's too big to fight. And this little guy David shows up and he said he's too big to miss. Same giant, but a different agreement. Words, they're spiritual contracts. Every I can't, every I'm afraid, every what if is like signing a lease for fear to live in your heart. But when you begin to speak God's word, you break the contract. When you declare, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Psalm 27:1. You basically serve the eviction papers to fear's lies, that they can't reside in your heart any longer. See, fear is fed by repetition. But faith, it's built by speaking the word of God. You can't have faith and fear in the same mouth. You're either going to speak faith or you're going to speak fear. And friend, your future depends on it. Let's talk about the fruit of fear, behavior, and bondage. Once fear is believed, it starts controlling our behavior. You look at Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Just one day after calling fire down from heaven, this mighty prophet is on the run from Jezebel because she said, I'll have that prophet's head. And he goes and sets under a juniper tree, and you know what he did? He prayed that he could die. How can a man go from calling down fire, slaying all the prophets of Baal, to running for his life overnight? It's because fear doesn't care how spiritual you were yesterday. It only needs a moment of agreement today. Elijah's story shows us that fear isolates us. The Bible tells us he left his servant behind and he went into the wilderness alone. Have you ever noticed how when fear starts gripping your life, the last thing you want to do is go to church? The last thing you want to do is be around Christian people because they might challenge your fear. And that's what fear does. It separates you from support. It whispers things like nobody understands or you're all by yourself. That's what Elijah said. I'm the only one. God said, no, I still have hundreds of prophets who've never bowed a knee to Baal. But God met Elijah, not in an earthquake or a fire, but in a still small voice, and fear shouts, but God whispers, and his whisper still wins. Thank you for joining me today, friend. Walk in grace. He loves you.
Every day, people smile on the outside, while their hearts are quietly breaking on the inside. They go through the motions of faith, but deep down, they feel empty, anxious, or lost. In Matters of the Heart, author Keith Manley takes you on a journey inside to understand how God designed your spirit, soul, and body to live in harmony. You'll discover what breaks the heart, what drains the soul, and how the healing presence of Jesus can restore what's been shattered. It's time to stop living wounded and start living whole. Because when God heals the heart, everything else begins to change.
Check out my new book, Matters of the Heart. It's available today on Amazon.com in hardcover, paperback, and the Kindle version.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.